This is a replay of the Thursday night, February 8th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. If all else fails, slime from the checkout line. That's right, the tabloids. Of course, the Royals could give us 3 hours of topic, but you might not want to hear any of them. So let's get to something you do care about. Firstly, I will admit, my show prep tonight consisted of a nap. It was a few hours ago. I was dead tired. I thought, you know, I could prepare the show or I could nap. And I thought, when you get right down to it, you should be awake when you're doing it, so go for the nap. I didn't have to convince myself very, very much. I did. But when I got up, I meticulously picked out your requests for your bumpers and a couple relating to this day in history and that kind of this week in history anyway, and that kind of thing. And then I saw it on the screen, Stolen Radio Tower. I said, yes, we've been talking about this off the air, well, since last Friday. Radio stories are plentiful. Anybody who's been in the business 5 minutes knows probably dozens, because we all gab about them, and some are memorable. You'll remind people decades later of the big time. Well, like WHEL in New Albany, Indiana. This goes back to I think late 60s, actually. Could have been the early 70s, but WHEL was a thrifty little station. It was a daytimer on AM, and well, the entire control room and guts and transmitter, actually, was located in what today would be considered an RV. Well, you know what happened, right? The morning guy shows up one morning and the station's gone. Someone drove off the station. It was gone for about a week. They finally found it up in Floyd Knobs. And there's a lot of stories like that. There was actually a UHF television station in Miami Channel, well, Dania, Channel 51. And they came on the air in the early 70s, and they picked the call letters WKID because there was a kiddie amusement park for about a minute there in Dania, and they thought they'd use that as their theme. As I said at the time, they'd have had more luck with kiddie porn. Not that I was suggesting it, but nonetheless, ultimately, the station wound up in a warehouse, the kind, you know, the self-storage kind. And the studio was the self-storage 8x8 block of cement, and the transmitter was it wasn't a trailer. It was more like a truck. And you get it. Yep, one day somebody drove off the transmitter. And so that happens. Now, unfortunately, we have a problem with AM stations that's well known, and that is, in order for an AM station to propagate, it's not only the stick you see in the air, it's the ground system that surrounds that stick that that allows the signal to get out there. The ground system is made of copper. Copper prices are now about $4 a pound, and even when they were cheaper, stealing the ground system could be pretty lucrative because it's not buried far under the ground, you know, 6 inches maybe. And so it is that you always hear about a copper theft, and it's terrible. But I'm building up to this because I think for most of us, it's the first time you heard the tower was stolen. That's right, 1240 AM, a frequency near and dear to my heart, since I have an AM station on that frequency here. This is WJLX, it's oldies, and it has an FM translator. That may be part of our story, I'll get to that. But nonetheless, the deal is that the station is in Jasper, Alabama. Now, let me explain if you're, because the first thing John said, never heard of it. Well, if you're leaving Birmingham and you're going to go northwest on I-22, you'll get to Jasper in under an hour, probably. And when you get off I-22, you won't be in Jasper. You'll have to head due north. And when you head due north, you're going to go through a wooded area and a pig farm, I think Marjack. And so it was that the tower was appropriately put by the pig farm, and perfect place to have one. Of course, you know, with the woods and the tower and pigs don't talk, it's ripe, but nobody thinks anybody's going to steal a tower. Well, so the owner gets a call because he decided, I'm going to have the site cleaned, which is always a good idea, by the way. So, you know, a lot of brush and stuff like this. So his crew goes down to the tower site, calls him Friday and says, the tower's gone. And the first thing he says is, are you sure you're at the right site? Which would have been my reaction, too. And they assured him that they were. And so he's talking with them. And then they say, and that building, the door's ajar, you know, the transmitter shack. And so he instructs the grounds crew to go in and tell him what's inside. Well, not much in here, just a table and a chair. And now, of course, dread has hit the guy because of his transmitter's not mentioned, any of his processing equipment, nothing. And so I better come down and see that. And so down he goes, and he discovers that the tower's gone. The guy wires are sort of still there. I don't know, by the way, about the copper. Not, I've read about now 15 stories, and nobody's mentioned the copper, so I don't know. And copper thefts have done a lot of damage and have in some cases, caused a tower to fall, believe it or not. But the tower was there when that happened. In this case, absolutely no evidence that a tower was there other than, as I say, the guy wires just hanging around on the ground, and maybe the ground system, like I said, I don't know. And so it is that, needless to say, WJLX 1240 AM is off the air. They have a translator at 101.5, a 250-watt FM translator, not uncommon. But translators are not fully licensed stations. You may not have them on the air unless the underlying fully licensed station is broadcasting, meaning WJLX had to be broadcasting, you know, even if it was 10 watts on some type of an STA, they had to be broadcasting. Well, they weren't broadcasting, and so the owner immediately writes to the FCC and wants permission to keep at least the translator on the air. And when I first heard this, I thought to myself, most unique excuse I've ever heard for a standalone translator, which is absolutely against the rules. Well, apparently it's not, because the FCC quickly denied it, said, nope, you're not on the air at all. Your translator isn't either. Shut that puppy down. And he did. And so he's off the air now. But so my first thought of that it was a way to get around, you know, using just the translator, that turns out not to be true. My second thought, though, was, well, I guess if the station's not doing well, there's always insurance. Not in this case. Now, there are some areas of the country where you just can't insure a tower from damage. You know, Florida, notoriously, and some others as well. But most places you can. And, you know, with an inland marine policy attached to your business policy. And it's not that much money in most places. And I don't think this would be Tornado Alley, but I don't know. But one thing I do know for sure is you sure as shooting could have insured the transmitter and your processing equipment and all that. This guy has absolutely no insurance. He said, well, we're a small station. We can't afford that. So there it is, and that's the story in Jasper, Alabama. And Eduardo, I'm so glad you called about that. Have you ever heard anything like it?
No. And John was I was talking with John, and he says it's possible for that thing to be taken apart.
Well, of course,
because I was thinking maybe it was helicoptered out.
You know, other people thought that too, but it was not self-supporting, meaning it's just just a stick. For the most part, I mean, it's not a unipole, but it's not a lot of stuff. They're in 20-foot sections generally, and they're generally soldered together. And so to speak, there's other ways to do that. But so it is that, yes, it could have been reduced to its 20-foot section. Unfortunately, you don't, on your FCC paperwork, have to explain who manufactured your tower. I wish you did, then I'd look it up and I'd tell you exactly. So I don't know how long this tower had been up there. A utility brand was great, and you know, it's certainly been up there long enough that it could have been a utility, but it could have been a number of other things too. But either way, we're talking 20-foot sections.
Okay.
And so what
was... And then they wound up vandalizing the building next door too.
Well, I know they say vandalized, but the reality is they stole. They took the transmitter and the processing equipment.
Yeah,
now,
yeah, definitely, yeah.
The reality, though, is somebody came prepared. Because normally, when you have the kind of casual thefts, what winds up going is stuff they can carry off more often than not, light stuff. I don't know what transmitter they were using. It could have been lightweight or whatever, but I have a feeling it was probably older, like a Gates 1 or something like that. So that's a pretty hefty beast. Somebody came prepared. Now, what helped them was where this is. Because, like I say, the pigs aren't talking, and you're in a pretty remote area, so you probably could do the deed without being seen and get to I-22 and skedaddle out, which might be what happened. But it had to be planned. This was not casual, and I wonder, a lot's going to come out. Firstly, I still can't believe the guy had no insurance. That forget about the tower, but I mean on the transmitter, the equipment, all that. How that could be is completely beyond me. But somebody had been surveying this for a while, no doubt about it. And they probably worked fairly swiftly. Cutting the guy wires, not hard for that puppy to come down. Taking it apart, like I say, in 20-foot sections. They could have gotten it. But now why? And did they take the copper? None of the stories I read talked about whether they took the copper.
Yeah. Well, you're right about the fact that the FCC didn't allow them to broadcast.
Oh,
on
of course
FCC,
not.
Which is a shame.
No, they shouldn't. They shouldn't. Translators are not fully licensed stations. They are secondary services. And fine if you want to use one that way, but it should never broadcast originating programming. It just shouldn't.
Okay.
I would have been horrified if the FCC said fine on that.
Okay.
Everybody and their brother would want to do that then. It's bad enough that people use their HD2 signals to put up FM translators. And in some cases, the HD2 signal, the point of origin, is nowhere near the original station, which allows a station that otherwise could never get a translator in a major market to put one there if the frequency is available, because they're on an HD2 that has nothing to do with what they're really rebroadcasting. So, bad.
Oh, I was going to ask you, what about like the satellites in outer space? Could they use that to find out?
Oh, as far
it was stolen.
As far as that, I don't know. I don't know what.
I wonder if they could do that.
Well, I don't know what's above Alabama that would be, you know, focused on terrestrial goings on. You know, I still say this was targeted, and I don't know why, but I don't feel this was, you know, just a crime of opportunity. Now, like I say, normally,
yeah, spontaneity. It was right. It was surveillance,
right.
Yeah.
And normally it is copper. And I think it was, just last month there was a station in Oklahoma where the tower fell down because of copper thieves. They actually toppled the tower. That wasn't their goal, and they left it there. But in taking all the copper, they downed the tower.
Yeah, I have heard stories about copper being stolen.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You betcha. And I see that all the time. When I say all the time, at least once a month you hear about a copper theft.
Yeah.
Somewhere, you know. And depending. The other thing is, you know, you should, if you in any way, you should no matter what, but have these sites fenced off and locked. Now, that wouldn't stop these guys. If they're savvy enough to take a 200-foot tower, they can get through the fence
line. They can climb
locker.
Over or parachute in. Yeah,
anything. But nonetheless, you should at least make it inaccessible. And you have to, by law, do that with your guy wires and your transmitter itself, because you can't allow that to be something that someone, a kid or whatever, could get to and harm themselves. So you're supposed to have a certain amount of fencing there to begin with.
Right.
So I don't know. I think there is more to this story. Again, at first I thought it was, you know, a clever way to keep your translator on the air, but it's not that. But it had to be targeted. And so I want to know a little bit about, and when I was in Alabama, I don't think this frequency was even on. You can kind of hear it from Birmingham if you're a real diehard, you know, it's outside that. But I think it went on like in the 70s or 1970 or so. So I don't know what this guy's history is,
okay.
Who owns it, a guy named Brett Elmore. I don't know the guy, but I got to believe it's targeted. But
yeah.
I'll stay on it because it certainly does interest me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you betcha. All right.
Okay, Riley, I'm going to let you get to some other calls.
Good deal.
Thursday.
Appreciate it. All right.
Okay, have a good weekend.
You too. And the Alabama Broadcasters Association has really stepped up to the plate. A lot of broadcasters throughout the state are looking at ways to help Brett out, get him a temporary transmitter location. I mean, you can even do it with long wire if you have to, you know, just to get back on the air. And if he can get back on the air in some form, any form, he can put that translator back on. So I suspect that he'll do it. But Brett is a second generation broadcaster, and His daddy was a station owner as well. So what I don't know, again, about the family, who would do this, how is it targeted? But, yeah, it doesn't seem like an elaborate copper theft. And, again, I haven't heard about the copper. Maybe you have. If you have, let me know. 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH on WGN Radio.
Snap your finger, I'll come running back to you on bended knee. Snap your finger, I'll come running. I'll be true. Take a chance on me. Let your light turn green. Baby, I've gotta know. Give me some kind of clue. Should I stay or go? Let me love you like the lover that you used to know. Oh, turn the key and let me in through that same old door. I had it, but I lost it. Now I've got a broken heart to mend. Well, listen, I don't care what the cost is. I know I got to find a way back in. Snap your finger, baby,
I'm Riley James. And that, of course, Joe Henderson, Snap Your Fingers, and that's on the lovely Todd label. Name another record on Todd. I'll wait. In the meantime, we'll hear the news, because I'll still be waiting, 1962. But speaking of the news, that's coming up right now on WGN Radio.
Honey, you say that you would never leave me. Then you turn around, oh girl, and you wanna deceive me. Well, why don't you make up your mind, baby? Why don't you make up your mind? Honey, you know that I love you. One day you will,
one day you will,
and the next you won't,
the next day you won't. One minute you say you love me,
yeah, yeah.
And the next minute you don't,
yeah, yeah.
Well, why don't you make up your mind,
yeah.
Why don't you make up your mind?
You know that I love you,
love you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is Barrett Strong, who would have turned 83 on Monday. Sadly, died a year ago in San Diego, and he had an interesting career. Most people think about him and Motown synonymously, and he was the first artist to record a hit for Motown, but and very well known, by the way, for his collaboration with Norman Whitfield. You know, I heard it through the grapevine, too busy thinking about my baby, Papa was a Rolling Stone, on and on and on and on. He wrote a lot of nice stuff. But when you look at the body of his work, and by the way, that first hit for Motown, of course, was on Tamla, 1959 Money, That's What I Want. That was the second thing they put out on Tamla on him. But he wasn't just a Motown act. And in fact, Make Up Your Mind, which I just played from 1964, was Tolly, which was a division of VJ. As far as I know, it was the only Tolly record he did. But he did some Atco and some Epic and some Capitol. And, you know, in addition to of course, as I mentioned, all the Tamla stuff. So interesting act. And, yeah, would have had a birthday this week, 83. So, yeah, rest in peace, Barrett Strong. 888-876-5593, 888-ROLLYE. New moon tomorrow. All right, so this is Friday at 4:59 p.m. Central Time, so Chicago time, a minute before 5 p.m. And you know the deal about the new moon. This is when you write your prosperity check. They're not real checks. They're fake checks. You write them out. And you go to MaryAnnWinkowski.com if you need instructions on what that is. But the deal is that the universe is always looking out for you, and they're aware of all your thinking and your intentions. But if you want abundance, the best time to communicate with the unseen forces is right before the new moon, because they're very receptive at that moment. So you write your prosperity check, your law of abundance check, so that the universe will know you want all manner of abundance. And I mentioned the last one I wrote worked like a charm. Well, sort of. All right, there's a PS to this. All right, so I've been working on this contract for one of my cell tower clients. And, you know, because that's pretty good income when you have, you know, the carriers on one of your towers. So, and, you know, I have others, and I'm pretty good at writing these contracts and doing this deal. But this one was a little more involved on this renewal. And so we've been going back and forth for about a year, not making that up, a year. And we finally got down to where I wanted it to be. And yes, I got all of the points that were important to me that, yeah, which some people would say, that's a miracle. Well, but I did the final negotiation on it while Mercury was retrograde. And I didn't really think anything of it because it's a renewal and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, I got the word right after I wrote that last law of abundance check that it's been accepted. This is fine. So today the contract shows up. And I realized, much to my acute embarrassment and horror, oh man, talk about sense of dread, because I had read this Six Ways to Sunday, proofed it up and down and all that, that I had two notice addresses on there for me in case, you know, they needed to let me know in an official capacity one thing or another. And I had typos in both of them. What it was each time I would proof this, I would gloss over the address information, because after all, you know, who's going to be changing that? You know, you're looking for the substance of the agreement and what changes might be in there and all that. So I just spaced it. But when I looked at it today before putting my name on the dotted line, they had already signed. Time for me to sign. And I look, and like I said, the first one, it was just a transposed zip code number, but bad enough, right? And I'm thinking, oh God, well, the other address. Nope. The other one on the structure number. Nope. Put an extra digit in there. So back it went. But I thought to myself, isn't it interesting how that this came to fruition after a year, right after the law of abundance, you know, check that I wrote, my intentions and all that. And What's this snafu? Well, I looked back to when I had inserted the address information and it was Mercury retrograde. So some of these things work, for better or worse, I guess. But there you have it. And this will be an easy fix. You know, they'll just fix the typos, put it through the system, have everybody and their brother bless it, have someone I've never heard of sign it, and then it'll come back to me. And so all in the matter of days. And then I have to look to make sure that it's not on a void of course moon when I sign it. See, today would have been perfect because the moon was not void of course. And of course, you might be saying none of this matters. And you're probably right. But hey, what do you got to lose? It's like Elvis used to wear several things around his neck. And one of them was a Jewish symbol, a chai. And that is the number 18. And I think it means luck. And someone asked him about it. And he basically said, hedging my bets. And why not? All right. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, if it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. Henry Fambro of the Spinners, sadly. You know, we were talking so much about Toby Keith, and rightfully so. That's just a crushing passing, although not totally unexpected, but nonetheless still sad. But Henry Fambro died, yeah, and Wednesday, and that was yesterday. Yeah, I guess it was. He was the last remaining spinner, and he retired last year. So his lead vocals, "I Don't Want to Lose You," "If You Can't Be in Love," co-leads with Philippe Wynn on "Living a Little, Laughing a Little," and co-leads and Bobby Smith and Philippe on "Ghetto Child," and Wednesday died, and I think he was in Virginia, 85 years old, and I don't know cause of death. I don't have that. But like I say, the last standing spinner, because C.P. Spencer died in 2004 and Billy Henderson in 2007 and Purvis Jackson 2008, Bobby Smith 2013, and now Henry Fambro. Yeah, and then there were none. But what good stuff. Yeah, I still say it's a shame. The first charter was my particular fave. Maybe I got to move a song and play that tonight, just for Henry. I think so. So what else is going on? If it's like I say, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And since most of my show prep consisted of a nap, and a fine nap it was, of course after the nap I thought I better eat something before the show. It's on in 10 minutes. Let me have something healthy. I'm not 100% sure, but maybe Ben and Jerry's doesn't qualify, but I ate the whole thing. All right. Oh, it'll be a fine show, I can tell already. And especially if you don't call, I'll be talking to myself once more, and I can do that, as I've proved alarmingly on many nights. So let's see what else is happening. Of course, James, the master of 8,000 stories, many of which I will not read to you because it's one horrible murder after another horrible murder. But, and this deals with death too, but in a different way. All right. There are laws about sending cremains in the mail. You can do that in certain instances with the USPS. They got rules and regs. You cannot do that with UPS. So sadly, a woman in Georgia decided she was sending the cremated remains of her 15-year-old son to her sister in Connecticut. The package never arrived. Now, you'd think, well, she's just going to sue UPS. No, because UPS doesn't handle cremains. What she put on the bill of lading was that it was clothing. Yeah. She's out, needless to say. The store employees told her they reviewed the surveillance video from inside the building. They showed the package leaving the store with the UPS driver, but somewhere on its way to Connecticut, the parcel went missing. So she received $135 in compensation. She got a check, but she won't cash it. I don't want no $135 check. I want my son's ashes back. And UPS, rightfully so, said the contents were described incorrectly. We found the content of the package was declared by the customer as clothes. UPS does not accept shipments of human remains. We extend our deepest sympathy to the family, and our heartfelt thoughts are with them during this time. Unfortunately, the package was lost. All right, so now here's the next thing. usually lost, you know, it didn't fall off the truck, rarely does it do that, means that somebody nabbed it. Didn't they get a surprise? And what do you do at that point? Yeah. Well, if you're the thief, you chalk it up to bad luck and just move on. So, a lot of comments too, as far as that goes. But you know, some people are saying there's a lawsuit coming. Don't even bother. The item was marked as clothes. $135 was, I guess, the declared value. End of story. Yeah. Now, the other thing is, there's more to the story. I cremated him because I had not seen him in 7 whole years. So I cremated him so he could be right here with me, and we could travel together and do things together, and he ain't here. Okay. What does that mean? You know, as I say, here we are again, 15 words in search of a sentence. I cremated him because I had not seen him in 7 whole years. Well, I'm trying to think of the instances that would fill that sentence correctly. What qualifies? You know, you cremate dead people, clearly. Where was he for the last 7 years? In 7 whole years. Clearly, expiring minds need to know. I want more information. We'll get to John in Oak Lawn. Hopefully you too. 888-876-5593. On WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah. Interesting lyrics for what we're talking about, but actually that was a request, and that request came from Mark in Wilmington, who wanted me to play Take Me With You by Honeycomb, 1970 on Hot Wax, and happy to do that. Now, so, okay, I'm still looking into this story about the mother from Georgia who shipped her son's cremains via UPS against UPS regulations, and think package doesn't show up. So, as I said, the sentence, I cremated him because I had not seen him in 7 whole years. And I think, not good enough for cremation. There's more to this story. Well, it turns out, looking further, he died in 2020 from a fentanyl overdose, and he was 15 years old at the time. All right, now 2020, most likely, I don't know when in 2020, but we'll say that's 3 years. If she hadn't seen him in 7 years, that would be 4 years earlier. She hadn't seen the boy since he was 11. All right, and that's in the best case scenario. What's been going on all this time? Cause of death, like I say, sadly, fentanyl overdose. But bottom line to this is UPS bears no responsibility for this. She wrote clothes on the package. She had it sent. Package doesn't show up. Yeah, like I say, there was some thief who was beyond surprised, to say the least. All right, so we've got Arthur, a first-time caller. He's in West Chicago. Hello, Arthur.
Well, hello, Raleigh. How are you?
Better now that you've called. What's up?
I have a mystery that I think that you are perfectly qualified to answer. In 2011, yeah, 5/18/11, I bought a record, a gold record, for $114.
Okay.
And it is a gold record.
Well, it's certainly dipped. Yeah. It's gold colored, yes.
Yes, yes. No, it is the record, and then they've got the album cover.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a little seal here, 24-karat
right.
gold-plated record.
Right, and it says RIAA certifies it gold.
That might be in the middle, but I don't see that.
Well, it should be the RIAA certification on it, but anyhow, go on.
Anyway, so it's also got this little brass or gold plate that says, "Dear Pat, thanks for being a great groupie. I was surprised to see a nice Irish boy like you likes our SH music." I don't think I can use that word
right,
on the radio.
Right, okay.
And it says, "The Group."
Okay.
And the album is "Who's Next" by The Who.
Okay.
And I have not been able to find anything more about it than what it is.
All right. Firstly, when an album is certified to be a million seller and it goes gold, you can have as many of the gold records printed up as you want. It's usually the label that will do it.
Usually about 30 of them.
Well, here's the best part. Rarely is it the same record. All right. Usually, like with Columbia, they were always done at Terre Haute, and they would dip whatever they were pressing at the time and put the label on it like it was the record. Now, here's the way I found out about this. This was 1974, kind of a slow day there at Epic Columbia, and I'm sitting in Billy Sherrill's office, and I said, "Hey, Billy, see that Tammy Wynette album?" And he stopped me right there and said, "Yeah, I've been wondering too." The problem was that the album had less cuts than actually was on the album that it claimed to be. So we knew that it couldn't be the same record. So he said, "Oh, what the hell?" And he took it down and broke the glass and played it. And it was not the same record. It was, you know, who knows who it was. Nothing anybody had ever heard of. But, you know.
So they might have just put a...
They do just put a... So, absolutely. So I called Terre Haute. And, you know, the pressing plant, because obviously I got the employee roster and everybody else. So I called them. I want to talk about these gold records.
This one appears to be... correct, because there are only four songs on this.
Yeah, and it's possible it is, but in general, at least the ones that were done at Columbia, they weren't. They were whatever they were pressing at the moment. Now, they were supposed to not be so sloppy that the cut number was wrong, but on this Tammy Wynette album, it was. There were not enough cuts. So,
that's a hoot.
Yeah, and so who they go to, you know, these are like PR thank yous. Like if a radio station music director was the first to break it, well, he would be mailed one, or program director or whatever, you know, the producer, the manager. And in this case, what you have, which I have not seen, but I can imagine it, is The Who decided they were giving it to a fan.
Right, a groupie, as it says.
Well, right, and who knows? That might have been real tongue-in-cheek. The guy might have not been a groupie at all. It might have been one of those.
Entirely possible.
Yeah, it might have been anything. And I'm pretty sure that you can probably have these things done up yourself. Anybody can. But if you're telling me you don't see the big RIAA certification, I'm wondering whether this was a legit deal or whether somebody just had it done. RIAA. And you can look that up online and you'll see the you'll see what it looks like. It's big. You can't miss it.
There's only the four things on the picture frame.
Right. So I think somebody did this themselves.
Because
it does not sound right, because I've just never seen a legit one that doesn't have, you know, it's this weird kind of circular thing, and it says certified and then sales award and then RIAA is written on it, and then it looks like it's the Deep Blue Sea. I don't know what the hell it is.
I think I've seen one in the background of some other picture.
Yeah. And it's usually to the right or the left. It doesn't have to be either side, but I see more of them to the right, but it doesn't have to be. But anyway, you'll see it'll have the inscription. And, you know, it, sometimes it's the label who is presenting it to, say, the program director. But the Certified RIAA Sales Award is very distinctive. And you can look that up and see it on anything. And if this doesn't have
It does have the gold square red and gold emblem in the corner.
Yeah, but it did.
It just says 24K gold.
Right,
record.
Right. Yeah, but that and by the way, the RIAA doesn't guarantee they're 24K because they're not. Well, but take a look. Go online and look for RIAA certified gold record and look at images, and you'll see it all over the place. And meanwhile, I'm going to the news because I'm late as usual. Call me again. Uh-oh. I appreciate it. All right.
Indeed. Okay. Thanks.
You
very much.
Yep. My pleasure. All right. So we'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
That's what girls are meant to be for.
To hug and to kiss.
That's what girls are meant.
To love and to miss.
That's what girls are meant.
You gotta hug 'em. Then you kiss them. You gotta love them. Then you miss them. Whoa, whoa. That's what girls are made for. To hold and to squeeze.
Mm-hmm.
To scold. Yes, I said you gotta hold 'em, then you squeeze 'em. If you scold 'em, you gotta please them. And I know, I know, I know. That's what girls are made for.
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James, and that is the first record, The Spinner's Cut. That's what girls are made for. It was on Tri-Fi, which was Harvey Fuqua's label. And now here is the discrepancy. And I don't know that there's ever been any settled answer to this. But Harvey Fuqua had the label. There are some people who say that Harvey Fuqua sang lead on that record. And there are others who say, nah, that's Bobby Smith, who did most of the Spinners' early records. And Bobby Smith was being coached by Fuqua. I don't know. But so that goes on. But the follow-up singers, I'm So Glad I Found You, was definitely Bobby Smith. And that actually charted, I think, like to number 91, the Anchor or something. And it was the last Tri-Fi single ever to reach the top 100, albeit not much. So we're playing some Spinners because the last of the originals, Henry Fambrough, died. And interestingly, the group, you know, most people think of the Spinners from like 1970. It's a shame that that's pretty much their origin. Don't kid yourself. This group goes back to 1954. And they were some boys who were residing in Herman Gardens, which is a public housing project in North Detroit. And so it was originally that Billy Henderson and Henry Fambrough and Purvis Jackson and C.P. Spencer and James Edwards formed a group in 54 called the Domingos in Ferndale. And so James Edwards stayed in that group for like weeks. I don't even think a month. And that's when Bobby Smith came in. So for all intents and purposes, he is an original. And next thing you know, C.P. Spencer leaves like weeks after James Edwards leaves. And he later winds up in the Originals. And it was George Dixon who replaced Spencer, who also, you know, early days, that clearly would count as an original, as far as I'm concerned. And so it was in 1961, they renamed themselves The Spinners. And the first single, which you just heard, That's What Girls Are Made For, was Tri-Fi. And whether it was Smith or Fuqua, I'll leave it to you. But the follow-up on Tri-Fi was Smith. And it was interesting how the members changed over the years. But the bottom line is that Motown did their best to promote them, and nothing was happening. In 1964, they made their debut with the Apollo, and the critics loved "I'll Always Love You," and you know, they were releasing a single a year, most of which weren't charting. And so, what happened to Henry is he wound up being Berry Gordy's mother's chauffeur. I know, I am not making that up. That's exactly what he was doing. And he did that, you know, probably for the six lean years. And then comes 1970 and "It's a Shame," and the rest is history. The Spinners are still touring with absolutely no spinner that you you know from the original days, for sure, because now with the death of Henry, they're all gone. But I will play "It's a Shame," which was, in many ways, their first known hit. Certainly not not first record, as I say, by a long, long shot. And we haven't even gotten into G.C. Cameron or anybody else, but that comes later, obviously. But for Henry, right from the beginning. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Dave in LaSalle, welcome back to WGN Radio. Dave.
Hey, thanks for the Joe Hendrix song.
Glad you liked it.
Okay, listen, I got one or two tonight. "How Sweet It Is" by Marvin Gaye and the Funk Brothers backing them up.
Okay.
One other one is a Coco Taylor song.
Oh, which one?
You know, she did the Wang Wang Doodle.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one I'm looking at is a song called "A Little Mixed Up."
Okay.
Would you get to that if you could?
It won't be tonight, but it will be next week.
Sure. Yeah, I got to go for cataract surgery tomorrow.
Oh, really? Is this the first?
I got about an hour and a half drive to Naperville, so I'll probably leave about 7:38, but I'll be up to 1. I listen to you.
Oh, man. So, is this the first eye you're doing, and then you'll do the other one down the road?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 weeks. The only thing is, I better eat gorge before midnight. They tell me I can't eat.
No, you can't. You can't. And that's just because you don't want any problem from the sedation they're going to give you.
Right.
And that's not a big deal. Well, this is probably the most common surgery performed in America. So
I'll feel. I'll see better and all that. So,
oh, yeah. Most people will say that the only regret was that they didn't do it years earlier. As long as you don't have other complications, it'll be smooth sailing.
Well, I'm glad to hear that from you. So, in the meantime, boy, you get some doozies with this tabloid stuff and and whatever else ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. I can't imagine sending cremains, writing clothes on it, and thinking that you're going to get them back if they lose them.
I can't.
Yeah.
That one got me.
She's not a rocket scientist. The Nobel Prize is safe from her.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Right?
All right, thanks.
Okay, Raleigh,
appreciate
you,
it.
Take care.
Thanks. All right, you too. Bye. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And John in Oak Lawn, what's up tonight, John?
Hi, Raleigh. Hey, great, unique program that you have.
Thank you, I think.
When I was a kid, my mom threw my dad out like 1956, and in his belongings in the basement were Ink Spot albums.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I never, because I was too young, didn't know who they were, this or that. Can you give a little history there, maybe play one?
Yeah, they were big for a 20-year period from the mid-30s to the mid-50s. They were originally from Indianapolis, and they were huge, which means that any of the records that you have very little value because there were a lot of them pressed. So the value that they have is that you like them and that you want to keep them. But, you know, they don't have much collector value because, you know, again, this group put out a lot of songs. So, you know, they originally were two guys in Indianapolis, Jerry and Charlie, and they used to appear on WLW as a quartet. There were four guys, the four Riff Brothers, and this would be like 1932. And this would also be around the time that WLW was experimenting with 500,000 watts. So it was an interesting time. But all that said, by 33, they disbanded. And so three of the members got together and formed a comedy group. I think they called it King Jack and Jester. And they were on the radio a lot. and 34, I think that's the first time they booked into the Apollo. And that's when they changed the names to the Four Ink Spots, which would be the really the start of it. And they wound up through that touring the UK with a big band and getting written up by Melody Maker and others with rave reviews. Basically, they were compared to the Mills Brothers and others, and they got a big contract with Victor. You know, and there again, talking about a major label who put out a lot of records. But what's interesting is they were doing very well on the road, but their early records were not selling. And so then they got another member in the mid-30s, a kid, Bill Kenny. And he had won a talent contest. And he wound up really shaping the sound. And he called it top and bottom. And it was used for ballads rather than the jive songs. And so, you can read about what top and bottom is, but they were doing that. And so they wound up going to Decca. And this is where they started, you know, still not very successful in terms of record sales, but we're starting at least to see something. Well, then here's the record, 1939. And what it was, they go into the Decca Studios and they record If I Didn't Care.
It's, Raleigh?
Yeah.
You're the fans of radio.
Well, anyway, it sold over 19 million copies. In fact, it is still one of the top 10 best-selling singles of all time. And so that really, I think, by the way, something like the group got paid a session fee of $37 a piece, and then after it sold a couple hundred thousand, they got an additional $3,700 each or something. I mean, it was just horrible. And so from 39 until they broke up in 54, they used the same kind of format that that Kenny was doing, this top and bottom format. And, My Prayer, which, of course, the Platters redid, and Bless You and Memories of You, which the Harptones redid, Getting Sentimental. And, in the 40s, they had a lot of hit singles, and they teamed up with things like Ella Fitzgerald, and they did so many things that are memorable, like To Each His Own, and they wound up being in some movies with Alice Faye and some others, and I'm not a movie person. I think they were in an Abbott and Costello or something, but anyway, there were some other personnel changes and all that kind of stuff, and ultimately in 54 they split up.
Wow. And you could spin one for me?
Yeah, well, sure. One of the big hits for sure.
Yeah, thank you, Raleigh, because I never heard them, and they kind of like nobody ever talks about them.
Well, because think about this. 1954, that's now 70 years ago, and that's when they broke up.
Yeah.
So who'd remember? Well, obviously, fans would, hardcore fans and performers certainly would, because a lot of people would, when asked, would say Inspiration by far was the Ink Spots. And so, but it was really Billy Kenny, the guy who came in, and he was a Philadelphia guy, and he really shaped that sound.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to hearing it, because I never heard...
Well, wait a minute. You found the records. Didn't you play them?
Yeah, no, I was like 4 or 5 years old.
Oh, what happened to the records?
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, all right. Well, sure. Yeah. I'll absolutely find you some Ink Spots. I'll find it after the half hour news. I'll find something.
Okay. Thanks, Ryan.
Sure,
I appreciate
thing.
It.
My pleasure. All right.
Have a good night.
So yeah, no, they were so big. But initially, until they got Kenny, they were a performing group, but not a hit records group. All right. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh, and we have Stacy in Algonquin. What's up, Stacy?
Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
Can't complain.
No, I have to say, Raleigh, I mean, I'm Jewish and part Lutheran through my marriage, but my gosh, you say the words like hi.
Oh, yeah.
You say it better than me.
Well, it's interesting you say that. Remember, I went to school in Miami Beach, And my best friend Bucky Lemon and I used to sit there and listen to all these retirees. And we picked up so much Yiddish that we, you know, I don't always know what the words mean, but I sure can pronounce them right.
You do. And I have my check all ready to write, you know, the abundance check.
Yeah.
And what else is I going to? No, I just couldn't. You say you are your. Oh, you.
Well, it's easy.
You have
I mean,
knowledge.
No,
you're amazing. You really are.
All the hairball sounds, the sounds are really easy to do for me. The ones that are harder is trilling my R's. I'm not good at that.
Oh.
So, but yeah.
You know, I don't. No, you are amazing, and I thank you for always the help that you gave to me, because it was just the seventh, and that was a two-year, you know.
Yeah.
So, but, no, I'm having physical therapy.
What are they doing that for? What are you having worked on?
Oh, to make me stronger.
Good.
And to walk better and everything. And I did so well. They said, you know, did you? So I said, yes, I danced with my husband and everything. They said, I could tell.
Yeah.
So they really gave me a workout, actually.
Good.
And tomorrow I have my therapist again, you know, with the exercises and everything.
Good.
So
good.
That's pretty good. They said, we want to make you walk good, and so you don't need to walk with walker or the cane.
Right.
You know, we're going to... You know, we're gonna. I have good people,
right?
You know, behind me.
No, they'll work on stability, which is just as important as strength. So that,
right, exactly.
Yeah, your balance, and they're really good at that. There's a lot of wonderful exercises that will improve your balance.
Right, and you know, I'm still. You know, my right leg still hurts, but you know, it's getting better. I still move and do stuff and
sure. Well, yeah, work through it as much as possible. And, of course, between sessions, do you have a gym where you live? Can you go exercise somewhere?
Oh, right here.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So you could go work on the treadmill?
I think, yeah, we have different – we get a flyer.
Yeah.
And then downstairs we have the town square, mm-hmm. and they have, like, exercise classes and different stuff. Mm-hmm. I just have to watch, you know, and see – what time, and then I'll go down and everything, and
okay.
And then we have the dog that comes on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, the dog's great. I love that.
Harley the dog.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to do everything, Raleigh, and you're just marvelous.
All right, so don't forget, one minute before 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, write that check.
Okay, so it's
4:50
in the morning. Then.
No, it's 4:59 p.m. So a minute before 5. I mean, you can write it earlier than that. You know, you can easily write it. You know, anytime in the middle of the day. Just make sure you don't hit 5 o'clock.
Okay. So, I'm glad I asked you that again.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, can you play another song?
I don't know.
I forgot of the group.
Uh-oh.
That I just can't think of the other group. But if you have, do you ever play, what's his name?
I don't know.
Things pop in and out. Well, anyway, I can take,
well, if you think of it, call us back.
Or you can just pick Marvin Gaye. You can do...
Well, think about it and call me back, and I'll play whatever you want next week within bounds.
You have a wonderful weekend, you and John.
All right, you too.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
So, yes, a replay of Monday Night Trivia tomorrow night. We will be with John in Waukegan, and we got Laurie in Chicago, and we've got Ink Spots, but the news might happen between now and Ink Spots. So Ink Spots right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
In a quaint caravan, there's a lady they call the Gypsy.
She can look in the future and drive away all your fears. Everything will come right if you only believe the gypsy. She could tell at a glance that my heart was so full of tears. She looked at my hand and told me my lover was always true. And yet in my heart I knew, dear, somebody else was kissing you. But I'll go there again, 'cause I want to believe the gypsy. That my lover is true.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, that was the biggest ever for the Ink Spots. It's an interesting record, The Gypsy, because a British guy, Billy Reid, wrote it, and he wrote it for his girlfriend, who was a young Welsh singer, Dorothy Squires. And that was like 1945. And a year later, the Ink Spots put it out, and it was just huge. I think it was number one on Billboard bestsellers for 10 straight weeks in 1946. But they had so many, many records. And I realize most people are going to remember the Gypsy, but I think everybody remembers To Each Their Own.
A rose must remain with the sun and the rain, or its lovely promise won't come true. To each his own, to each his own, and my own is you.
And that went to number one right before The Gypsy, actually, very big. And there's just so many. And I was thinking, well, I'll pick one more that I particularly liked. It probably is Don't Get Around Much Anymore.
When I'm not playing solitaire, I take a book down from the shelf. And what with programs on the air, I keep pretty much to myself. Miss the Saturday dance, heard the crowd at the floor, couldn't bear it without you. Don't get around much anymore.
Indeed. So, yes, as I say, you talk to a lot of R&B singers, doo-wop singers from the 50s, and citing their inspirations, you bet you the Ink Spots are high on the list. All right, John is in Waukegan. Welcome to WGN Radio. What's up tonight, John?
I was wanted to speak about the lady and the cremation.
Dude. Yeah, what do you think?
I hate the burst of bubble, but If Cheetah were to receive that, she said she wanted to, you know, the boy to be going with her and doing things.
Yeah.
The situation is the boy has passed on.
Exactly.
He can't do anything with her, you know. Somebody needed to tell her that, you know.
Yeah, well, I still think it's a little odd that she said she hadn't seen him in over 7 years. Now, he's been dead for three, but how about the 4 years before that? This was her child.
Yeah, well...
I don't know.
Somebody need to wake up, you know, when somebody passed away. That's like if I have a car and you strip all of the guts out of the car, the motor and that seats and everything, and just the frame is there. That's not a car anymore. It's just a frame.
Well, of course. And, you know, if you subscribe to the belief that the soul goes on and the life goes on, that's great. But the body does not.
Right, right. Yeah. And I believe that, the soul moves and goes on.
Yeah, I do, too.
It was scientists, when I was in high school, I never did get his name, but he was said he did private practice where he would weigh people, very ill people,
right,
a little before they passed, and they would weigh one weight, and then he say after they they passed away, he would weigh them right after they passed away, and he said they were a few ounces lighter after they died. So
yeah, 21 grams. It was the 21 grams experiment, and this was Duncan McDougall. And then that's a long, long time ago. He was from the turn of the last century. Yeah. He measured the change of six patients at the moment of death, and one of the six lost 3/4 of an ounce, 21.3 grams, and then he repeated this many times, and other scientists are saying, well, that's flawed and all this, but it was interesting.
I believe him.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much the soul weighs, but I absolutely believe it's there.
Right.
Now, what I thought was interesting, and you probably know this, after he did this with people, he did the same thing with dogs, and none of the dogs registered any weight loss after death.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's the difference between species.
Yeah, it is. And they were fascinating studies. And like I say, that was a turn of the last century, like 1910.
Right. Well, we're schooling the audience.
There you are. That's right. That's right. That's Professor John from Waukegan.
Okay.
All right.
See you later.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And we'll get to Lori. We'll get to James. But right now, oh, man, you've been waiting all week. I just know it. I can feel it. Now it's time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com. Radio, I'm Raleigh James. 1970, I remember just where I was when I heard that song on the radio for the first time and just thought it was the absolute best. And of course, it was really, as far as hit records, the breakout one for the Spinners on VIP, a Motown label, and G.C. Cameron on lead in that, and written by Stevie Wonder and Cy Rita and Lee Garrett, right? And Stevie Wonder produced it, actually. And what a fine record. So they've had, the Spinners had a number of other great records too, but I don't think anybody, any of them topped that. Still, still my favorite. And it was a whole mess behind the scenes because GZ Cameron was having an affair with Gwen Gordy, and and he wound up, of course, leaving, and Philippe Wynn came in. But nonetheless, it's a shame, but just the best. And that was not the original 45 mix. I mourn that, but it was still nice anyway. Yeah, it's kind of a hard song to ruin. Laurie in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio. Laurie.
Rally.
Yes.
I have 2 units to talk to you about. One was an RCA made probably about 50 years ago that had Braille markings because Flan called to give advice to somebody who had a retina problem so that she would be able to watch TV without bothering her eyes. And I think this RCA with Braille markings on it had TV and radio. And I wonder if that is still being made.
Well, it wouldn't.
Do you know?
No, and it wouldn't matter because the television system is different now than it was then. The stations aren't in the same place on the VHF dial. So even if it was, that television wouldn't pick them up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And of course, RCA, in name only. No, 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 no. Anybody who was doing that in the mid-60s, completely different corporation.
Okay, because that had Braille markings, and it was the only unit I knew that ever did.
Yeah. No, RCA was absolutely, a leader in its day, but the rights to manufacture under RCA and GE are owned by Thomson, Thomson, Thomson. And there was a swap. But so if you're seeing anything that's branded RCA, it's actually Thomson Consumer Electronics.
Right. And you wanted to know, this had to be 2 or 3 months ago, if there was anything still that had 78, and yes, there is.
Oh, yeah, no, there are. 78 turntables, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this unit is 19 inches by 14 and a half by 8 inches tall with CD, cassette, turntable and radio. Now, the radio is only FM, which is a bummer. But the turntable has 78, and you can get it from Amazon.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, with me, what I care about, most of the ones you're talking about are belt drive, and I don't like belt drive turntables. I want everything to be direct drive, but there are still 78 direct drives that are made. Audio Technica does. It's going to cost you more, but you can get it. I mean, you can still get a few that have the 16. I don't know why you'd want it at this point.
I don't know why you'd want the 16, but I think those are audio books anyway. And if you're not into that, it doesn't matter.
Right, right. But the 78s, yeah, they're all over the place. And if you're willing to settle for belt drive, they're downright cheap. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of drive mine has, but it's a perfect sound.
Yeah. Well, if you took the turntable off and looked, you'd be able to see whether it's belt driven or direct. But no need to know; it's working. That's all you care about.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have another. Who was it that talked to Stacey just before her that wanted the Inkbox request?
Yeah.
Because I have another one for him. Please take a little Miss Brown.
Oh, yeah. There's so many. You know, I think the Ink Spots released a couple hundred 78s. So, yeah. You would not be...
Wow.
No, it's literally that kind of a number. And, of course, not all of them were hits, to say the least. But there's... let me look it up. But I think there's, close to 250.
It's the last one on the first okay. side of the vinyl, or maybe it's the last one, the second side of the vinyl, if I'm not mistaken.
Let's see.
The 78, but the album. I don't know about the 78s anymore. I don't have any.
Yeah, well, the albums are later. They would have been, pressed later. When the group was active and performing, they were almost all 78s. Okay, they released 245 of them.
Really? Was it that many?
Of the 78s, yeah. 92 albums.
Was it?
Yep.
Wow.
I'm telling you, they were... Now, most of these, again, you're going to find are going to be like Audition Records or Riviera Records, Coronet. You know, the records probably came out in the late 50s, but the songs were recorded maybe in the late 30s. You know, it depends.
Yeah, I never knew they were recorded that early. Well, I thought it was all 50.
Well, no, the Ink Spots broke up in 54. So when you see all these albums from 55 on, they're not an active group at that point. So in other words...
I didn't know. You just taught me something tonight.
As far as albums from when they were recording it, it's probably half a dozen at most. And then, since then, you get another, 70-something. But those, if something came out in 1959, that's, 5 years after they broke up. They didn't record it yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and you'll see a lot of it like Hallmark and, a lot of stuff that you used to get direct. Remember in the newspapers, they'd have the Sunday supplements and you could order the album or whatever, that kind of stuff. They'd be packaged that way. So, sure.
And then there were a lot of commercials on TV.
Oh, of course.
And everything, too.
Well, right. KTEL Presents, all that, of course. And a lot of late-night PI spots were that way. And, of course, when CDs came out, you had to have a few dozen Ink Spot CDs where they, like you say at night, Treasury of Hits, 9,000 Ink Spot records. Yes, on one long-playing CD. Right, that kind of thing, of course. Yep, all true.
I do have a dedication for anybody who's lost a dog in 2023.
Aww.
Two versions of Old Shep, and you know what they both are.
Oh, God, and I don't think I'll play either of them, but I'll mourn the dogs. All right, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, good deal. So 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. And yes, I did promise tonight, and I will do it, Thinkers Anonymous. When I started in on that last night, I thought, you've heard me do this. But then I thought, it probably has been years. So right after the news, we'll do Thinkers Anonymous. And then we'll get to James on the South Side with all his stories. And let's see, maybe another one of your requests coming up. But other than that, trying to see what else. Oh, man, there were a few things. So, again, don't forget about the Law of Abundance, because tomorrow at 4:59 p.m. Central, a minute before 5 p.m., that's when, any time before that, write your Law of Abundance check and see how well it works. We'll compare notes through the month. Why not? And if you don't know, of course, go to MaryAnnWinkowski.com. All right, so I'm looking at Carol's notes because she keeps me honest. And what else didn't I? Other than, she even has Thinkers Anonymous. Okay, I will, I promise. Eduardo in Tampa wanted to know about Oklahoma having the tallest building in the U.S. I don't know, I'll look it up. All right, so that's... and James from the South Side, like I say, with his 1,800 stories, we'll get to those too. And your calls in the next hour right here. Tomorrow night, it's a replay of Monday Night Trivia, and there is a straggler. So if you weren't listening Monday and you want to hear what the straggler is in preparation for picking it up again live next Monday, you want to be listening to that right here on WGN Radio.
I'd like to thank the guy who wrote the song that made my baby fall in love with me. Who put the bump in the bump a bump a bomb? Who put the rhyme in the ram-a-lam-a ding dong? Who put the bop in the bop shoo bop shoo bop? Who put the dip in the dip di dip di dip? Who was that man? I'd like to shake his hand. He made my baby fall in love with me. My baby heard bomp 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 bomp. Every word went right into her heart. And when she heard
put the rhyme in the ram-a-lama ding dong? Who put the bop in the bop shabop shabop? Who put the dip in the dip di dip di dip? Who was that man? I'd like to shake his hand. He made my baby fall in love with me.
Yeah.
Each time that we're alone, boogity 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 shoot, sets my baby's heart all aglow. And every time we dance to dip 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 dip, she always says she loves me so. So
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That, of course, is Barry Mann, who's turning 85 tomorrow, and he's still with us. It's been a rough 6 months for him, to say the least. 8 months now, I think. Cynthia Wheel, his wife for 61 years, died last June 1st at 82. They were the most enduring brill-building couple, brill-building couple, to say the least. They were together and strong all that time. He was from Brooklyn, born in 1939. And when he wrote that in 1960, came out in 61 on Ampar, ABC, Paramount. He wrote it along with Jerry Goffin. They wrote together, actually, and Alan Evans and Donnie Kirshner produced it. And it was, more of a pimp, but it turned out to be such a great little record. So happy birthday to Barry Mann, who's still with us. All right, so 888-876-5593. So here we go. Do you think too much? Thinkers Anonymous. It started out innocently enough. I began to think at parties now and then to loosen up. Inevitably, though, one thought led to another, and soon I was more than just a social thinker. I began to think alone, to relax, I told myself, but I knew it wasn't true. Thinking became more and more important to me, and finally I was thinking all the time. I began to think on the job. I knew that thinking and employment didn't mix, but I couldn't stop myself. I began to avoid friends at lunchtime so I could read Thoreau and Kafka. I'd return to the office, dizzied and confused, asking, "What is it exactly we are doing here?" Things weren't going so great at home either. One evening, I had turned off the TV and asked my wife about the meaning of life. She spent the night at her mother's. I soon had a reputation as a heavy thinker. One day, the boss called me and he said, "Skippy, I like you, and it hurts me to say this, but your thinking has become a real problem. If you don't stop thinking on the job, you'll have to find another job." Gave me a lot to think about. I came home early after my conversation with the boss. "Honey," I confessed, "I've been thinking." "I know you've been thinking," she said, "and I want a divorce." "But, honey, surely it's not that serious." "It is serious," she said, lower lip a quiver. "You think as much as college professors, and college professors don't make any money, so if you keep on thinking, we won't have any money." "That's a faulty syllogism," I said impatiently, and she began to cry. "I'd had enough. I'm going to the library," I snarled as I stomped out the door. I headed for the library in the mood for some Nietzsche. With a PBS station on the radio, I roared into the parking lot, ran up to the big glass doors. They didn't open. The library was closed. To this day, I think that a higher power was looking out for me that night. As I sank to the ground, clawing at the unfeeling grass, whimpering for Zarathustra, a poster caught my eye. "Friend, is heavy thinking ruining your life?" it asked. You probably recognize that line. It comes from the standard Thinkers Anonymous poster, which is why I am what I am today, a recovering thinker. I never miss a TA meeting. At each meeting, we watch a non-educational video. Last week, it was Porky's. Then we share experiences about how we avoided thinking since the last meeting. I still have my job. Things are a lot better at home. Life just seemed easier somehow as soon as I stopped thinking. All right, so no one knows who wrote that. It's all over the internet now, I'm sure. But Porky's was out when I first got a copy, so I guess that's the earliest I knew of it, though it's possible that that was just changed over the years. It may date further back than that. But yes, Thinkers Anonymous. All right, James on the South Side, welcome back to WGN Radio.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm trying to...
I got a chuckle out of that, okay. I've occasionally been accused of being into details.
yes, yeah. Absolutely. And so I'm trying not to think. I do it as well as anybody, I guess, for 3 hours a night anyway. So plenty of stories. What do we have?
Okay, well, well, I kind of like, this was an interesting mixed bag of ones. The last couple ones that I sent you had to do, it was about a fungus that's unfortunately,
Candida.
Aerogosa, unfortunately is real in its unseemly head.
Right, Candida aureus. It's not the same as Candida albicans, so if women hear this and think, oh my God, my vaginal infection is going to kill me, no, it's not. It is another strain of Candida.
Yeah, and unfortunately, this one, unfortunately seems to like blood cells too much.
Well, you know, the thing is,
among other things,
the reason it comes out in nursing homes and things like this is because in order for Candida to take hold, whether it's Candida auris or albicans or anything else, you have to be compromised to begin with. It's very often acquired in a hospital. And the problem is it's very drug resistant. Fungal organisms are difficult as far as that goes. But if you're already in a very compromised position, and if you're in a hospital, you very well may be, then this is spreading like wildfire. And there's so much hospital-borne infection. And one of the problems that I see, and apparently I'm not alone, because even you're seeing HMO now when they're building new hospitals, they build everything single-patient room. I think this concept of two to a room, and I know why they came up with that decades ago, but that is ripe for infection.
Yeah, and I noticed that, over the years, no stranger to hospitals. I noticed we have one patient, newer hospitals, like Northwestern's newer one down.
Right.
It's basically, when I was visiting a friend, they were basically single patients.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, and because they also had a type of cancer that was unfortunately, let's just say, white blood cell related, and that was even more so the case.
Yeah, but I would say that there are still many two to a room places, and if it were me, I wouldn't be going to that particular place. And unfortunately, a lot of the nursing homes are that way. And so when you have a thing where this is spreading through the nursing home, it's tough. And
elderly patients whose immune system's already not
right. exactly
what it is, not as to quote the Beatles' old song yesterday, and not have the immune system they used
to be. Right. They're more likely to get it. And the biggest problem with fungal infections is there are some very good things that'll cure it, but they'll kill your liver in the process. And if you're already compromised, your organs may not be able to take that. So you're stuck with a real problem when it's fungal or parasitic.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of like, it's almost like to be or not to be.
Yeah, right. And if you're that compromised, they're not going to give you some of those drugs. It is a problem. Now, we're still, what's interesting is they're talking about this as if it's spreading like wildfire through the country, but the reality is that 4 years ago, there were about 500 cases. Now there are under 2,500. Yes, so that's certainly a notable growth, but it is not a thing where we have thousands and thousands of cases. Yeah,
this isn't quite like, I remember a couple of years ago they were talking about the flesh-eating bacteria was all the rage.
Well, and that does happen. But again, even those numbers, when you're talking about necrotizing fasciitis, those numbers are fairly low. Of course, if it happens to you, it doesn't matter. But as far as looking at it aggregate way, it's still low numbers, thank God.
Yeah, and thankfully they have come up with a few things that do work, but of course the most notable thing is they try to make sure your stay in the hospital isn't too long.
Right.
Maybe that's part of the reason why they try not to make their food to appetite.
Oh, God. Well, that's another subject, and that's anecdotal, but I have always wondered why it is that the diet in hospitals is more likely to kill you. But that, like I say, that's for somebody else to discuss. Yeah, so yeah. That is out there. Now, along the same line, sort of, but not really, disturbing findings, scientists discover unexpected effects of common food preservative. This is concerning, to say the least. Apparently, it is something that's commonly preservative in a food, and it does what it's supposed to do, but in the process, it kind of upsets your microbiome equilibrium, meaning your gut. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I imagine a gut punch to the gut.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So apparently there's an antibiotic that's been added to food for a long time, which, again, you know, you read the labels, and my feeling is if you can't pronounce half the words in the label, don't eat the substance. But nonetheless, it's one of those that, oh, look at how good this is fighting this problem. And, yeah, oh, by the way, it causes another one even bigger. So...
yeah, it's kind of like, oh, I'll take this way, but I'm handing you this problem, this one. It's like getting an unequal trade. It's like, oh, it unfortunately reminds me of the St. Louis, the old Lou Brock early parochial trade.
Yeah, right.
So, you find out that, and of course, that's always why Trump has said, until this last guy who came along who became a center fielder, where it turned out that, okay, now obviously then they decided to move him on to, because they had the problem in, after they got rid of their gold glove right fielder, they decided to move him over to right field. Then they moved him over to left field, and then since they got the guy who was a real good glove for right field, supposedly they got another center field guy who's real good. Oh, I'm like thinking,
yeah.
Cubs, you are causing me headaches there. But anyway, back to the story.
Yeah, so we have a lot of recalls. Bottom line is, I guess you're better off not eating, but if you shop at Stu Leonard's, and you don't if you're in Chicago, because they are primarily in places like Connecticut, but they've recalled chicken. Now, meanwhile, Hormel Foods, well, lots of Hormel Foods everywhere, they're recalling ham. So I think that, you know, every now and then you hear one of these deals, but this is the spiced ham with natural juices, and it's not supposed to contain milk, but apparently that is one of the natural juice, and so it is milk allergy. Now, again, in most of these recalls, unless you have a serious allergy, the chances are good that you're not going to have any problem whatsoever. But, of course, if you are one of the unlucky few that does have an allergy and it's not written on that, that can be bad, like the dancer who died after eating a cookie that she thought was peanut free and it wasn't. So it happened. But we have ice cream recall, and so there's apparently a lot of them. And again, it's usually because there's something in it that they didn't properly label. In the case of the ice cream, undeclared peanuts.
It makes you almost want to say, goodness gracious, Jimmy Carter.
Oh, God. We're just moving right along. Fortunately, this biscuit and cracker dish that's sold in the UK is not sold here. The official recall notice was for moth larva. Okay, now that's a little up the top. And by the way, this is for organic rye, spelt, and raisin crisped. So, so much for organic. Well, I guess moths can be organic too. That's been recalled. You know, I tell you, this show might be good for anybody on a diet because you'll never want to eat again. Salad kits sold in 7 states have been recalled, and Illinois, I don't believe, is one of them. And so that's a bright farm spinach.
Yeah.
And I must admit, I don't go to the grocery store with alarming regularity, but I do go in there, and I've never heard of Bright Farms. But nonetheless, if I was in Connecticut, Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia, or West Virginia, I might be in trouble. But here in Illinois, eat the salad to your heart's delight, I guess. Of course, you can claim a one-time payment from a $3.5 million milk settlement, and you don't even have to have bought the product. But you know what's interesting? It's Lion's Magnus food. I would think that you would at least have to live in a place where Lion's Magnus milk was sold. So
yeah, you know, and I was looking. I'm like thinking,
right.
Okay, it's a bunch of the places that I haven't been near any
places. Right, exactly. Now I missed the Colgate Palmolive recall for Fabuloso multi-purpose cleaning. Apparently, that was last year at this time, where a manufacturing issue allowed for the recall. But in the case of something like this milk, before you apply for your refund, at least find out if you live in a state that ever sold the thing.
Yeah, now, of course, there's also was that I wanted to just passed last night, involving the pine saw related to the Senate pine saw varieties that, okay, apparently a bacterium thing in the solutions.
Well, finally,
and it was from 2018, 2021, something like that, 2007. And what happened was that you had, like, you could fill, if you had to fill out a thing before, like, I think it was 9 or 10 o'clock time last night.
I saw that. Now, of course, I looked at that and said, bacterium pine sol. Ooh, finally, a reason not to clean. You know, gee, honey, I think I'll just stay safe and not clean. Now, of course, Alex Murdaugh in the news, which is always good, and he's the convicted murderer of his wife and son in South Carolina. And now it looks like half of his money will be divvied up and given to the families of the victims from the boat crash that his son, whom he murdered, was involved in. So that's...
He won't be half the man he used to be.
You're right. Well, he won't be any of the man by the time this is done, that's for sure. So sadly, of course, the victims might get 45% of his assets, which is what they ruled, but they're not going to get Mallory Beach back, the 19-year-old who, of course, died when her body flew from the boat. So the Beach family gets 29% of the assets. So
I did have a thought about the cremains.
All right, well, hang on a minute. Let me leave you in the cremains there. Don't go away. We'll find out what's going on in the news at large and be back to you, hopefully here on WGN Radio.
Saturday Satan, Sunday Saint. Fooling your neighbors, that's what you think. Reading the good book, singing the hymns. Come Monday morning and it's back to a life of sin. Old Brother Brown, all week he steals. Tells everyone it's big business deals. The deacon walks by, a dollar hits the plate. Trying to buy himself a ticket to the pearly gate. Old Sister Rose on the very first row. Been a-sittin' right there 20 years or so. Never hears a word when the preacher speaks. Too busy talking about the bad girl down the street. Saturday Satan,
Sunday say, fooling your neighbor, that's what you think. Reading the good book, singing the hymns. Come Monday morning and it's back to a life of sin.
WGN Radio, I'm Robbie James. Love the lyrics in that. And Wayne Walker wrote it. Actually, I'll tell you about him in a minute. But that, of course, is Ernest Tubb, who would have turned 110 tomorrow. Yeah, amazingly. Died in 2014, so lived to a ripe old age, and he was a regular on Decca, which that song was released as a single and an album in 1969. But Wayne Walker was an interesting guy. He was from Quapaw, Oklahoma, and he wanted to be a performer, but he found all his success as a songwriter. He did a lot of things, including Are You Sincere? Yeah, the Andy Williams record and all that. He did stuff for Kitty Wells and Ray Price, and he was associated with Tillman Franks, and Tillman Franks was an old-time promoter from Bossier City, Louisiana, and David Houston's manager, actually, and Webb Pierce, and it was Webb and Tillman who got him on the label. And his first hit that he wrote, I Got a New Heartache, was a country hit for Ray Price in 1956. Wayne Walker did all right for himself, but my favorite was still Saturday Satan, Sunday Saint, fooling your neighbors, that's what you think. All right, so back to James on the South Side, who said, but wait a minute, it's usually, but that's not what I called about. So you were about to say,
okay, about the remains. Okay,
yes,
the
yes.
Cremated remains. Now, when she said that I had about 7 years, now the 4 years when they were both on this side of the realm.
Right, right.
When both of them were.
When he was 11 years old.
The only thing I can think that probably happened that one or both were incapacitated some way.
Well, now, wait a minute. The kid was 11 at that point. Because he died at 15. So from 11 to 15, she had no contact with him. I would think there's a court involved in that.
Yeah, and I think from her, from at least the way her manner of speaking and what she went through, I suspect that she's got a few issues. And, of course, grief has now probably eaten up her logic circuits.
I hope that nobody will take her case against UPS because it's open and shut in their favor. They don't ship cremains, and she wrote that they were closed, case closed.
Yeah. Now, of course, I will not say to the porch potter, whoever it is who absconded with these, I will just say that, okay, let's put it this way, a different court will rule on him.
Well, especially if it's in a litter box somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
they will probably say, you thought you were going to get some high-end duds.
Well,
wasn't you?
All right. Well, good deal, James.
And you ended up with... something, it ended up with a purse, basically the remains.
Yeah, more than you bargained for.
Yeah, right. When the 21 grams, remember there was a movie about that too.
Oh, really? I'm going to look that up. Good, thanks for the tip. And we will talk to you soon, and thanks for all the wonderful stories.
Also, one other thing. Okay, the Andre the Giant, he wanted to be cremated.
Okay.
Okay, now he's seven. He was 7 foot three, something like that, going towards 500 pounds.
Mm.
Okay, when some friends managed to get him shipped over to, there was no place in France that could do it, but there was a place, so they got him over here. It reduced down to 17 pounds.
Yep. All right, good deal. I just looked up 21 grams. Thanks for the tip. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right.
Take care. Now, have a nice weekend.
You too. All right. So, 21 Grams, 2003, a freak accident brings together a critically ill mathematician, a grieving mother, and a born-again ex-con. And, of course, 21 Grams from the study that we were talking about earlier with John from Waukegan. And so that title comes from that. And interesting. All right, so 2003, so 21 years old now, and you can check it out for yourself. Academy Award nominated, no less. All right, I don't know if it's in English. I think it is. I'm not sure, though. Looking at some of these names, I have reason to doubt that. All right, 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh, and that will take us to Fran from Austin. So, Fran, what's up tonight?
Well, I'm not feeling too well, but other than that, I'm falling apart. I was feeling great. It started out to be a great day. I had lunch with a friend, and, I came home and I was tired, but I had only gotten about 2 or 3 hours sleep. So, it was one of those things. I just thought, well, I'm tired.
Yeah.
And then my throat started hurting, and then my stomach started doing its thing, and then I started getting a headache, and I thought, okay, I've had all my vaccinations, my
maybe that was
COVID
it.
And flu. Huh?
I said, maybe that was it.
Maybe that was it. Well, yesterday I had the flu shot.
Uh-huh.
So Gary's thinking it might be something.
Yeah.
I've never had a problem with a flu shot, but there's a first time for everything.
Absolutely.
And I already wasn't feeling too great before that because my arthritis has been kicking and I don't have anything to take for it. Because they took me off of what they had me on because of my kidneys.
Yes.
So they want me to get some kind of ointment, which apparently my pharmacy doesn't carry.
Of course not.
So, I'm trying to, call the doctor and tell them and call around and see if there's someone else who carries it. And at first I thought, well, I need them to have ScriptTok, which is this labeling system that a lot of pharmacies have now so that we can blind people can read their prescription bottles.
Very
really
helpful.
Great.
Very helpful, yes. I would think so.
Yes, it is. But anyway, so, of course it's the only ointment because everything else I take is pills. So I thought, well, it doesn't matter if they can ScriptTok it. I can tell what it is. So I can get it from another pharmacy.
Right.
I just have to find it. But anyway, but that wasn't what I called to talk about.
Uh-huh. All right, well, I hope you're feeling better. I hate that when you can't take anything for the pain. That sucks.
Yeah, and then I'm having trouble with my wrist now. And it's bad enough when it's my left wrist, but when it's my right wrist,
because
I'm right-handed,
and
I can't even properly, it's like I can't even really use my cane for any distance.
No, is this rheumatoid arthritis?
We don't know what it is yet because it's just gotten to where it's more constant. It would bug me for a couple of days and then it would go away and I wouldn't think any more about it. I would take the Thinkers Anonymous and just not think about it.
right.
But now it's not going away, so I have to think about it. So
And try to find out. It might be psoriatic arthritis.
Yeah, I don't know. It's in my wrist. It's kind of on the side of it. I've got a brace on it that I just bought at Walmart. It's not anything, that I got from a medical place or anything like that, but to try to immobilize it as much as I can.
Uh-huh.
I have to, last night I went to lift a casserole dish and I'm like, no.
Right.
I don't think so.
Right.
Gary.
Right, exactly. No, absolutely.
So I said, well, we have to, we're getting older. We have to do things for each other. We have to take over for each other's,
Yeah.
It's like, I'm having to take over more of the Braille reading tasks and things like that, because of his hands. And they still can't figure out what's going on with them. He went to the doctor today. Anyway, we're still not sure what's going on with that, but that's how it goes. I mean, things change, and you know, he gets upset if I have to untangle something, you know, that he's usually able to untangle, and I get upset when I have to, you know, when he,
sure.
I have to ask him to lift something that I'm usually able to lift.
Right, it's frustration, I understand
that. Very independent
that.
People, and it's not, the, you know, but,
right.
you know.
Right, a lot of frustration, I get that, believe me.
Yeah, so, but Lori had called about this radio, this RCA radio.
Radio TV, she said.
Yeah, it was a radio TV. Gary and I, in fact, Gary still has his. Why, I don't know. But he's laughing at me. Yeah.
It
still works. It doesn't work on the TV.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
though.
It doesn't work on the TV part unless it's magic.
No, it doesn't work on the TV part. If he's seeing stuff on there, I'm wondering about.
Yeah,
you know,
boy, I'm wondering.
He's taking behind my back.
Well, yeah, either that or if it's confirmed you're seeing things, the damn thing is haunted.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Well, I wouldn't mind if it would be haunted by maybe some old DJs that I used to love to listen to or something like that.
Absolutely.
That would be cool.
That's sort of my dream, too. You know, like I always say, you drive into the tunnel, the signal goes away. I want to drive into the tunnel and it's 1957 again.
Yeah, me too. You know, I want to go. Yeah, I would love to do that. There was a Twilight Zone episode, I think, where the guy did that.
Yeah.
But,
sounds
you know,
good.
I would have
to
wanted to stay there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll move into the tunnel. You betcha.
Yeah. What happened to Fran? Well, she went through the tunnel.
That's right. Right. That's very in vogue right now. All these near death experiences.
That's true.
Yeah.
So anyway, they have not made those, I think Gary said, since 1974 or 5, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I'm not
surprised.
And
I had one, and it was really cool because I didn't have a TV because I just had that, and I didn't have, you know, if people came over and wanted to watch TV, I'd rather talk, you know, or listen to music. So I didn't want to encourage them to watch TV, so...
Yeah, you know, I'm a little concerned about the development of adaptive devices with some manufacturers saying, well, I don't have to worry about that because they can just use Alexa.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that. And Alexa does not know
right
as much as people think she knows.
Well, that's it, but you do.
You know, I've heard so many people say, well, I found it on Alexa.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, so that doesn't make it right. And you're able to find less and less on that thing nowadays.
Right. And the idea that a manufacturer is going to skirt the need for making something adaptive by saying, well, Alexa's there. No, just no.
It doesn't matter what else is there. That doesn't make it so that it shouldn't be a concern.
I agree.
But unfortunately, if we made the rules and, you know,
yeah, exactly. It's just horrifying to me that in this day and age when so much can be done that everything is not completely adaptive because it would not be that expensive to add and it wouldn't be that expensive to develop.
Right. And, you know, because I remember when I was working and they were going to... This is when I was working for Sears and they were going to eliminate the operator position and make it part of the customer service or merchandise pickup area,
mm-hmm.
which, given the right computer equipment, I could have done very easily. That this was even back in the 80s. It wouldn't have, you know, but there was, you know, there was the quota. There was me and there was a guy in a wheelchair.
Mm.
Well, they didn't have to modify anything for the guy in the wheelchair except for put it on a lower shelf.
Right.
So, of course, he got the job, and it wound up being okay anyway for me. But, you know, I was pretty upset about that at the time. And,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, because they didn't want... And I'm not saying that... Well, that's a whole political discussion. I won't go there.
Well, and, you know...
I'll keep calling...
Right. And sadly, to me, you're right, but it more than anything is a humanitarian decision. And, you know,
yes.
I hear some of this stuff, and I think, yeah, it really is a prison planet. You know, things are just wrong.
Yeah, that is true.
And that's why I figure, okay, we'll just fiddle while Rome burns. I can't solve this, but yeah, I just find it, it's one of my greatest frustration how the blind community is treated, especially in this day and age. It's just dead wrong.
Yeah, it's crazy, and it's you know, I can't think about it too much.
No.
Because if I do, I get angry.
Well, of course.
And that
of
doesn't
course.
Solve anything.
No, no, you have to join Thinkers Anonymous.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know.
No, absolutely. You know, that's the serenity prayer, accept the things you cannot change. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Except I saw somebody was telling me about a bumper sticker that said, think, it's not against the law yet.
So oh, I don't know. I don't know. I read some of these laws. I would beg to differ. But
exactly.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Well, great to talk to you, friend. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Raleigh.
All right, bye. Good deal. So 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Well, it was a heartwarming story. You know, you have all these ones of people behaving badly, but here is a nurse, an ICU nurse, who adopts a 14-year-old patient who delivered triplets alone. All right, so it had a happy ending there. I'll give you some details, too. Well, it's such as Sherry in Naperville, and I think there's room for you coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. We'll forego the bumper since we've only got a couple minutes, and they belong to Sherry. What's going on, Sherry?
Hey, I just wanted to comment on Fran, who said she felt sick on the same day. I heard in Naperville area, anyway, that there's a 24-hour stomach flu going around.
Oh.
And even though we got flu shots too, apparently the flu shot, they try to catch the best ones. It doesn't cover the 24-hour flu. It
doesn't cover all sorts of things, of course. It's a guess, right?
Right. And the other thing I wanted to mention was your first story about the tower being stolen.
Yeah.
A month or more ago, they were reporting a lot of construction equipment and road equipment being stolen somehow.
Yeah.
You know, because they're huge, like backhoes
right.
and the other
right.
dump trucks. And I don't know what for, the metals or side racket. I have no idea, but they're moving on to bigger and better things, I suppose. What was the last thing I wanted to ask? Oh, Pothole was a Rolling Stone. Could you play that sometime next week? But Mondays I listen, but you do trivia. Tuesdays I'm always asleep. David hears you. Wednesdays I might be awake, and Thursdays I'm definitely awake.
Okay, so you want to hear this next Thursday. Let me write this down.
I haven't heard that. I used to love to try to sing that, and
you know, it's
and,
funny.
And a low alto voice.
The thing, the other night we were playing Smiling Faces sometime, The Undisputed Truth, that the Temptations recorded originally. Well, this is, and of course the Temptations didn't have a hit with it, and The Undisputed Truth did. Well, Papa Was a Rolling Stone is the exact opposite situation, because The Undisputed Truth recorded it first, and the Temptations covered it that same year and had the hit. So
oh,
how about
wow.
that? And Norman Whitfield and Barrett Strong wrote it. And, of course, we played Barrett Strong tonight because he would have had a birthday this week. Barrett Strong would have been 83 Monday. Died last
when
year
it
in
was
San
playing
Diego.
On the radio, was that in the 70s?
Oh, yeah, 72.
Okay, yeah, then I do remember hearing it on the radio.
Right, exactly. So, like I say, though, but it was first in 72 by The Undisputed Truth, and then The Temptations covered it same year, May of 72, and it became a hit. And then there's a long version of the song, a 12-minute track. You don't want to hear that. And,
okay.
Yeah, at least I don't.
Whatever version it was like a guy had a really deep voice.
Yeah, no, it was The Temptations, of course. And
okay,
Dennis Edwards,
like
Melvin Franklin, Richard Street, Damon Harris. I'm trying to think who else was in that group. But yeah, it was an interesting session because there were fights in that session. The Temptations didn't like Whitfield's instrumentation in terms of that the emphasis was on one thing that they didn't want, that type of thing. And Whitfield really just sat on Edwards to re-record his part dozens of times, and he's the one who got the grumble. And actually, in a way, Whitfield really rubbing him the wrong way is what came out with that angered, bitter grumble, which is what he wanted. So he got it, but he irked him in the process. So, and the other thing is,
you got to ruffle feathers to go with.
Well, yeah. But the other thing is, Edwards was pent up beforehand when he saw the lyrics because, you know, it was the 3rd of September. Well, his father died on the 3rd of September, except the truth of the matter was his father actually died on the 3rd of October. So I don't know what that fight was about.
Well, he was probably still stressed out about it.
Well, whatever. It wasn't the same year. But it worked out. So I think that you wouldn't have heard that grumble if Edwards wasn't really pissed at Norman Whitfield. So we'll play it next Thursday for you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you later. Thanks.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Okay.
All right. So on that note, that's a wrap. Tomorrow night, it's a replay of Monday Night Trivia. If you want to know what the straggler is, you want to be listening for that, the next live show is Monday night. It's a full three-hour show on Monday night with trivia. I'm Raleigh James. We'll talk to you then on WGN Radio.